Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio. I'm here with my friend and co-author, Nancy Saxton Lopez, and also a special guest who I'll be introducing in just a minute. And this is a program that Nancy and I do every Thursday from 6 p.m. Eastern time to about 6:30. And we often are sharing stories from listeners and the stories of their loss, their healing journey. And so if you'd like to send us your story, please consider doing so. You can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com. You can reach Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. All the information I'm sharing in the beginning is also available in the description that accompanies either the live broadcast or whatever replay outlet you may be viewing or listening to the program on. And just also, I want to comment that the program is an extension of the book that Nancy and I wrote called The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. With the advent of this new media, relatively new media, been around for a long time now, I guess, we're able to have what amounts to more of a discussion with participants. And so this is what we celebrate, I guess, in this program. And you can also, in addition to sharing a story, you can recommend a guest, you can recommend a topic. We're open to all of your suggestions. You can support this program in a number of ways. You can subscribe to our Substack, where you can read the correspondence that we have with participants who have allowed us to share, and you'll see their pictures, you'll see our notes back to them. And this reminds me also that if you write to us, please let us know if we can share what you write to us. Mm-hmm. And if you would prefer that we didn't, we will still write back to you. One or both of us will get back to you, but it's really helpful for other people to read the stories that come along, and many people find solace in the sharing. You can support our work through joining the Substack. You can send us a Venmo donation. You can do the same through PayPal. And there are other means that are displayed in the description. This program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society in Springfield, Massachusetts. Dakin does a whole bunch of programming that extends beyond being a shelter and a place where you can adopt rescue animals. And one of the programs that they support is a cost-free Zoom pet loss support group that I facilitate once a month. It's on the second Tuesday of the month. It runs 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, and it is entirely free for participants. So please consider joining if you think that this may be helpful for you. We have people who join from all over the country, often all over the world, and lots of different perspectives. We do cap the registration. So if you think that you can make the next meeting, which is going to be on April 9th, please register soon, because it does fill up pretty quickly. And also, if you register and then you learn that you can't make the program, maybe it would be helpful if you can remember to send a note to me and let me know that you have to delete your registration, because then we'll open it up for another person who may be able to join. Also, please consider pressing the subscribe button on YouTube.
Thank you.
This is the way that others become aware of the program. And so if you find value in what we're doing here, it'd be really helpful if you will also press the subscribe button, maybe leave a comment, maybe give a thumbs up, or in one way or another, either on YouTube or Facebook, show that you are benefiting from the program. And then finally, we have a partnership with a company called Bereave. And Bereave makes these really very well-crafted granite memorial plaques. And if you're looking at the video or you're watching live, you can see that there's an image of the kind of plaque that they provide. It has an image. It also has whatever text you'd like. It might be the kind of plaque that you would put outside in a memorial spot or inside where you keep mementos for your beloved pet. If you purchase a plaque from Bereave through our link, then we get a little bit of support as well. And I think Nancy's going to show us the plan.
Here's Bailey.
It's actually really, really solid.
Really, really beautiful. It's heavy, and it's just, the etching is really, really beautiful.
So I'm going to introduce our guest this evening. Her name is Kathy Finley, and Kathy is a lifelong animal lover, as you would probably suspect. She spent her professional life working in the nonprofit sector and is now retired. She spends her time writing and advocating for animals. She writes for several blogs, including her own on her website, which is Kathy Finley, and that's KathyFinley.com. And has recently published a book. And the book is called My One-Eyed Three-Legged Therapist, How My Cat Cleo Saved Me. Her book has won several awards, including three from the International Firebird Award, including three from the International Firebird Award. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly. The book was also a finalist in the Feathered Quill Awards. She lives in Indianapolis with her husband and two cats. And so we welcome Kathy, and Nancy is going to get us started with some questions for Kathy.
Again, Kathy, thank you so much for joining us. You know, we talk a lot on this program about writing, right? It's cathartic for people to write their stories. And so we've had so many since 2020 of people writing in to share the stories of their beautiful animals that have died. And so you took it to be a book, which I think is really, really cool. And it's a great book. Can you tell us why did you do this? What was going on in your head to actually publish a book about Cleo and your relationship?
Well, it did start after she passed away, and I was extremely distraught about losing her. And I just decided that before, you know, those funny little memories of her faded into the past and I couldn't remember all this stuff. I had tons of pictures of her. So I thought, well, why don't I just start writing up about her, and I'll do a scrapbook on my spare time and put the pictures in there, because I have to organize the pictures anyway. And as I began writing, I realized, oh my gosh, I mean, you know, I'm so much a different person now than I was then. She overcame so much, I overcame so much, and she was really the one that kind of got me out of this funk, I guess you could say, I was in, or I was kind of a lowest of my self-esteem ever. I was in the midst of a bitter divorce. It had been an abusive marriage. And I just felt like I didn't have a friend in the world. I had a very demanding job. And I just realized that when she passed away, I had a new husband who absolutely loved her and loves cats, loves all animals. And I just realized how much she had done for me. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that, and I realized the other animals in my life, I thought, I'm going to try to write a book. It's an unusual story. You know, I mean, kind of like, how many one-eyed, three-legged cats do you know in the world? Probably not too many. And it just showed to me what an animal could do, a pet of any form could do for a person. I felt that was a story worth telling, because as a kid, I was bullied, and it was a cat that helped me out there. And I mean, you know, having suffered through an abusive marriage, and then my mother was toward the end of Cleo's life. She passed away a few months after Cleo. She was in failing health, and I had to take care of her. I had a health scare, and I just felt that Cleo had helped me so much, and I really was distraught over her passing, but she really helped me, I think, believe again in God, and that there's some form of life thereafter. I'm not an extremely religious person, but I do believe that, you know, animals go together with us somewhere. And she just gave me hope. She changed my life. I wanted to tell that story because I felt, you know, the next time somebody considers a pet, you shouldn't consider what it's going to do for you, but keep in mind, it might make your life a whole lot better in addition to making the cat or dog's life better too.
Now, how did you find Cleo? Because she had some, obviously, some things that were with her, you know, yeah. One eye, three legs.
Well, she wasn't one eye and three legs when I got her. She was actually a birthday present from my staff, which was a big argument whether they should get a pet for me. They knew I was lonely. They knew I was going through a tough time. They knew I love cats. So it was a surprise birthday present for me. I had come back from working at this very long conference and board meeting and was totally tired. But when I got back and I was tired of coming home to an empty house and to, you know, answering machines with nasty calls from my ex-husband. And I decided, okay, he wouldn't allow me to have a cat because he said he was allergic, and I accept pet allergies, but he married someone who had cats. It was definitely a way to keep something that I loved from me. So there was, but anyway, I said, I'm going to have a cat. And I'm going to the Humane Society. The minute I get back into work, my lunch hour, I'm going to the Humane Society, which was only about 15 minutes from my office. And I'm going to pick out a cat, and I'm going to go home with a cat. And I didn't have to do that. Ironically, the cat they got me was, Cleo was gray and white. It was exactly the color of the cat and almost similar markings to the cat I had in childhood that helped me when I was bullied as a kid. And it was just like, did I ever tell you about this cat? Because I didn't have a picture of it. Yeah, I mean, it was a long time ago. And they go, no, we just picked it out because somebody was giving away kittens and stuff. And we just thought she was cute. But she did have a heart murmur. And when I got her, which always was, could make surgery difficult, but then she developed eye cancer. And they had the rule of eye, and then she had leg cancer, which actually came from the leukemia vaccine that I was trying to do.
My goodness.
It was like 0.01% of cats.
Wow.
And 0.01% it's like some small thing. And like I say in the book, I should have had her go out and buy a lottery ticket for me. She was playing the odds. But she had some other health issues too along the way, but you know, after about 7 years, she ended up as one eye and three leg. But going forward, if cats always seem to come into my life, so I don't have to go to the Humane Society and adopt them. But I would probably adopt a disabled pet just because I think they get
there are a lot of them.
And the older ones get overlooked and the old ones get overlooked. So I just feel that they can teach us, they can still teach us so much more.
Oh, yes.
So that's how Cleo came into my life.
So you started to talk about how she helped you so much. Can you articulate a little more? I mean, what did she give you? What did you learn from her?
Well, I think, you know, number one, I mean, I think, you know, when you have no self-esteem, sometimes you think, and I had kind of built it up after the bullying in high school, but obviously not enough to, you know, abusers tend to pick on things and know that you don't quite have the self-esteem and they pick on things. And, you know, I was always aware of my looks and wondering, you know, am I pretty enough? Am I overweight or this or that? Or did I just do something? I'm clumsy. Did I do something stupid? And I mean, the first thing with Cleo is like, she would just do these antics. She had her own little trick of doing somersaults. And sometimes she'd do them and do them well executed. Other times she'd hit her head on something. She'd do what we call the electric slide across the bathroom, the long bathroom, and then hit the wall and look up. Oh, I meant to do that. She'd walk off the edge of the bed looking at us. And it was kind of like, so you can do silly things and be silly and you don't have to be aware of yourself. When she lost her eye, I mean, it was like, it didn't matter to her in her mind.
No.
She was still cat, still having fun.
She adapted.
She lost three legs. I mean, she's still, she used this, played the sympathy card a bit on that one, but she still was able to jump on things and do things and play and run. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't affect her attitude. And I felt, you know, and she wasn't, you know, I mean, they don't have an understanding that they had cancer, but I mean, it was just that kind of thing. She just wanted to live life to the fullest.
I felt,
beside being a great companion and coming home and from long trips and stuff like that, you know, it just was wonderful to have someone there. It was so wonderful to have someone who loved me. And there's one incident in the book where I remember I was just, I don't know, I had a bad week at work. I was still kind of getting over the divorce and the marriage. And I just laid down on the couch and I was just started crying. And she got up on my chest and just started purring and started licking my face. And, you know, maybe she was getting salt in the tears, but I don't think so. She was just sitting there purring on top of me. And I just felt that was just the unconditional love I needed.
That's right.
I saw her and I just felt she in her mind, and she still was beautiful, but she didn't care about those disabilities. She didn't care what she looked like. And she didn't care if she sometimes was silly and, you know, did something and was clumsy and hit her head. She just went on about about life. And I figured, what a wonderful lesson.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's interesting because, you know, what you said is she loved you the way you were.
Right.
It didn't matter. She was okay with what she did.
Right.
She didn't judge or criticize. I mean, she just did what she did. Right. And that's kind of.
And I loved her the way she looked too. I mean, I wouldn't have dreamed of saying, oh my gosh, I got a one-eyed cat. I'm going to throw her out. Or she's got three legs. She's deformed. I don't. I mean, I didn't even think of that. And then I'm thinking, well, why would I think that about myself too? I mean, why make those criticisms about yourself and in your mind? And I just, and she did, I mean, I think that the thing I liked the best about it, and I decided that I would never marry someone who, if I couldn't have a cat.
Right.
Or a dog or something, but I wanted a cat. And I dated, it took me a while, but I started dating again. And she basically would decide she didn't like somebody.
Oh boy. And then you knew.
She phoned in on my current husband, Jeff. And she had him, and I don't want to give away the book, but there was an incident in there where he came over to pick me up, and she was playing with these little glitter balls, and while he was there, he was petting her, and she started playing with the glitter ball, got under the couch, and then she was trying to get it, and it was real low to the floor, so he wasn't even a cat person. He had dogs. He never had cats. He lifted up the love seat.
So she.
And she crawled right in the bottom because it was torn. And I came out, you know, because I was just finishing getting dressed. I came out and I said, oh my gosh, you fell for the love seat trick. And I thought, here he is, and, you know, first time in my house. He's got the love seat upside down because you couldn't put it back down because she wouldn't have been able to get out. There's only that much space under it. And I thought, okay, I think I may have found, I mean, the person for me. And
that's right. She picked him too. She picked him.
And she really pushed away the ones that were, I mean, that I kind of decided were jerks too, but she really decided she was going to end any other relationship because she wanted him.
It's interesting to me. We've heard from a number of people who are survivors of abuse that their animals really meant a lot in their recovery of themselves, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's something to hear your story because it resonates a lot with some of the other stories we've heard. And it's, you know, one of the things I always think about is this idea of animals being emotional support animals. And the official designation, I kind of feel like anybody who has a close relationship with their animal companion is going to say their animal is an emotional support.
Exactly.
Certainly like Cleo was.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's where my book, and I have actually been talking to the shelter here, the women's shelter, and they have started a program where they're got some funding so that the families there, mostly women, there are a few men, can keep their pets at the shelter.
Yeah, good.
Because one thing, you know, and one way, I would hope he wouldn't have killed the animal. But so many abusers use that animal as a cudgel, and they'll you know, threaten to kill it, and they'll either not leave because of that animal. And, you know, and for the kids to have that animal too, because, I mean, you know, even if it wasn't Cleo, it was another cat. I mean, that cat, when I was a kid, meant so much to me because I lost my father. We didn't have a lot of money. I was bullied in school. I mean, I was pretty much... you know, why go on? I mean, the only reason I was going on was my mom, but I was not a happy kid.
No.
Until I got that cat.
And that's then, right. That cat really helped.
Friends, and then I started realizing this kind of the same things I learned with Cleo, but I don't think I was around that cat enough or had enough cognizance to realize what that cat was trying to teach me, and didn't get that self-esteem. But I think they do really teach you self-esteem. They teach you empathy. I mean, just so much. And I think it's, you know, just important, like at a shelter where the you know, the families come in with their kids, that they have the pet, and that, and I think it's just,
oh, that's wonderful.
That they it's a wonderful thing to know that some, you know, yes, the cat loves, you know, maybe the cat loves anybody that feeds them, but somebody loves you, and what that abuser said was just hogwash. And that's, and what was interesting is that after just being with her for a little bit, I mean, I think before I never was able to pick that up with a guy, you know, going out. And I mean, I didn't date that much, but still, I never was able to pick that up. And man, when I started dating again, I mean, I picked it up very quickly. This is the end.
Well, you know that men who are going to abuse, It usually escalates. It isn't evident at first. The control escalates, and so it's just really important to be like incredibly vigilant, because I mean, so many men and some women are abuse their power, and and so I'm glad you survived, and I'm glad you have a partner who is loving and all that you deserve in life. It sounds wonderful.
He is a great, great guy.
I want to share, we've getting a comment. There's a person whose name is, I'm going to show you this, Dodie One Kenobi. Ready? Beautiful. Thank you. Also, I know this feeling oh too well, Kathy. Hope, purpose, strength, responsibility. And then amazing, truly, it matters to take good care of yourself and treat yourself with love and compassion. See yourself through loving eyes, just like they do. It's
thank
beautiful
you so
words.
Much. Great, great.
Yeah. So tell us what you would say to somebody who wants to adopt a pet. They've recently lost a pet, maybe. They're kind of unsure. Maybe they want to get another cat after having lost a cat. What are your thoughts for them?
Well, first thought, if you haven't been around cats or pets long enough, I mean, I think one of the first things, you know, when Cleo died is you kind of want, you know, if you're going to get another cat, it's got to kind of be the personality of Cleo. And you don't do that because all animals are different.
Yeah.
And after Cleo passed away, I was like approached by a friend, I mean, just a few days afterwards, that she had found, and this cat had been, she'd been after me before, but Cleo was sick in the last several months of her life. Her kidneys were failing. And I did not want to bring in the other companion cat had died, and I didn't want to bring in another cat, you know, to push her over the edge or whatever, or upset her at the time. So my friend called me again, and I told my husband, and he's like, it's too soon. And I said, well, let's go see it just to appease my friend. And we did. And she handed him to my husband And he says, I'll take him. He put his paw on his cheek, and that was the end of the story.
That was it.
But the thing was, is that I don't think we knew it would never be another Cleo. And secondly, I viewed it as the house. I mean, even in 2 days, the house was so empty, even with the two of us. And I felt I was saving a life of this cat because winter was coming. It had shown up at her house. She had like three cats and two dogs. She could not take any more in. And, you know, the winters in Indiana can be harsh. And she says, I just cannot take any more cats. And you hate, you know, they get so many strays at the Humane Society. And I mean, the animal control, I mean, it's so sad. And she says, I just know if I take him there, he's not going to, he might get adopted, but there's so many other animals. Yeah, so I viewed it as not a replacement to Cleo, but just having another animal, a totally different cat, a totally different personality.
Right.
That I, and I learned from him. Then we got another one, and then I ended up with a third one. And unfortunately,
now you got a bunch.
Well, we lost. Sadly enough, I lost my one about a month ago from congestive heart failure.
I probably
won't get another cat. I don't cat to replace him because I don't know how the other two would be, you know, toward a new cat. And I don't want to upset the apple cart with that. But I'd say, you know, if your only pet dies or whatever, and, you know, if you got an opportunity to adopt a cat and save a cat, save that life, and just view it as a different, and learn from that animal and learn the personality.
Yeah, really something different, maybe.
Well, I like that you're
not like Cleo at all, but they were wonderful. Yeah. Benny was the one that passed away, and he was, oh my gosh, I learned so much from him too.
All four of them are
different. So
I like that you are emphasizing that your new animal companion is never going to be a replacement.
Right.
They're not going to take away the grief. They're not going to make you feel like you've got your old friend back. Mm-hmm. It never works that way. And also that you made the decision collaboratively with your husband. And it's so important to make the decision collaboratively with other members of the household.
Right.
And that you also considered the other members beyond the other.
Yes. Beyond
non-human members. Of the household as well.
The other two cats when the other one's
so important to factor in the whole household, the whole situation, all the relationships that are going to be affected by it. And so it's a really important message that you're
doing. And responsible financially too. We just spent, we didn't lengthen the cat. I mean, we didn't know what was wrong with Benny. And, you know, by the time we got him out of the animal hospital, we'd already spent $5,000. But you have to be able to do that.
You want to understand
ridiculous lengths. Sure. But, and like with Cleo, I mean, she, an amputation of a leg and an eye, it wasn't cheap. But, I mean, you have to have the resources to, you know what I mean? And not to extend their life. I wouldn't have extended Cleo's life if I knew she had a week or something.
No, of course not.
To live
right.
With the cancer, or she was going to suffer even more. Then she had an excellent chance of recovery. And so that's
but
it's a responsibility financially, time wise, and everything.
Absolutely.
So you got to think of that too.
So, Kathy,
I think,
I was just going to say, we're going to wrap up, and I wonder if you have any final words for listeners before we close?
Oh, I think, you know, since this is a pet loss thing, I think in my book, I talk about how I think Cleo kind of came back. And in fact, this cat that just died of Benny and I, there were just a couple little signs. He liked to steal my makeup brush out of the off the counter. And one day I opened the medicine chest just the day after he died, and
it was there.
The brush flew across the floor.
Huh?
And okay. I was like, it wasn't even on the edge. So I said, I think they're there. And I grappled with what happens when you lose a pet. And my cousin is a Methodist minister. And I just said to her, what do you think about that? Is there a place, do they go And she said, God will give us everything that makes us happy. And if it's our pets that make us happy, they'll be waiting for us. So I think, you know that they leave behind those lasting memories. You're never going to replace the one you lost, no. But you can learn from each pet you have. And hopefully we'll all see him again somewhere.
Well, also Cleo is happy that you have your new babies.
Yeah. And she's happy that I wrote a book about her too. I know it's like, it's about time.
I just want to also share again, a comment from Dodie One Kenobi, if I'm saying that correctly. The signs are there. Their spirits are there. There's a greater connection than the physical realm. I truly believe this. So I think those are great words to end on. And I want to thank you. We want to thank you, Kathy Finley. Yes. I want to remind people that Kathy's book is My One-Eyed Three-Legged Therapist, How My Cat Cleo Saved Me. We have a link to it in the description. We have a link to it on Amazon in the description. And you can also find the book from her website, which is also, it's very simple, kathyfinley.com. And again, thank you. And if you are finding value in this program, please consider once again subscribing on YouTube, because that is very helpful to others who are looking for a similar support. Thanks very much.
Yes, thank you, Kathy, very much. And thank you, Dodie One Kenobi, for your comments. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for having me. Right. I enjoyed it. So.